Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Wire Ropes Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Bharat Wire Ropes Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Murarilal Mittal, Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Mittal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sushil Sharda, Director and Head of Finance. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Tushar and Ventura Securities for hosting this call. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today on the evening call for Q4, FY24, and financial year 2023-24. Bharat Wire Ropes Limited today is one of the leading manufacturers of specialty wire ropes, slings, and wire strand with over thousands of varieties of products and SKUs. Our products meet the functional needs of various industrial applications such as general engineering, aviation, fishing, elevators, cranes, material handling, and offshore oil exploration, ports, shipping, and mining. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you as we gather here today to discuss and reflect our company's recent performance and results. The results are excellent even in challenging market conditions. Our unwavering commitment to excellence and innovation continues to drive us forward. I would like to invite Mr. Sushil Sharda, Director of Finance, to share the financial highlights with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Let me give you a brief about the financial highlights for financial year 2024. For the financial year 2023-24, our consolidated revenue reached 622 crore rupees, registering growth of 6% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the period increased to 164 crore rupees, reflecting a growth of 18% year-on-year. EBITDA margin stood at 26.39%, rise of 283 basis points on year-on-year basis. Our net profit for financial year 2023-24 amounted to 96 crore rupees, marking a significant growth of 55% year-on-year basis. The PAT margin stood at 15.47%, rising 491 basis points year-on-year basis. We have seen reduction of 9% in Q4, though our EBITDA stood at 26%, almost at same level, but on number terms, it has come down by 18%, mainly on account of disturbance in Red Sea metal movement. Now, I would like to invite our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Mittal, to share some of the operational highlights and strategic insight with you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to highlight our operational highlights and the factors behind the FY 2024 financial performance. We recorded a 7% year-on-year increase in volumes and 5.6% in revenue owing to de-bottlenecking of capacity and new product development. Our EBITDA margins also witnessed significant improvement of 18% and PAT increase of 54%. This growth can be attributed to our strategic efforts in reducing raw material cost, power and fuel, debt reduction, and new product development, along with the new geographical penetration. Additionally, our steadfast focus on high-value-added products has been our catalyst for our growth. Furthermore, the accumulation of a strong credential track record has bolstered our reputation and trustworthiness in the market. In terms of capacity, our current utilization stands at around 60% for FY24. Our order book position is secure, equivalent to 3 to 4 months of operations. We can now open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, just wanted to know, like, what is the current situation right now again in the Red Sea, and what kind of, you know, guidance that we would be looking forward for FY25 in terms of revenue and margins?
See, basically, this Red Sea disturbance is now gradually stabilizing. And now, initially, there were a lot of delays in shipments, availability of ships. Now, things are improving. Of course, the freight cost had gone up, which also is now gradually coming down. And the customers are also now getting familiar with this situation, and we hope that in a couple of months, the situation will significantly improve.
Okay, sir. So with regards to our guidance for FY25, what kind of revenue growth can we look at, sir?
See, we have not given any forecast for revenue growth in next year on official channel with stock exchange. However, we expect that the growth what we have seen in last couple of years, we hope that the trend to continue.
Okay, sir, fair enough, sir. And sir, does the extra freight cost put a pressure on our margins, or do we pass on that, you know, cost to our customers, sir?
Practically, majority of freight cost is passed on to the customers. Customers are now gradually accepting the situation, and they are ready to pay the freight cost, whatever increases.
Okay.
Had it been the case, in fact, if we would have not been able to pass it, our numbers would have not shown this kind of growth.
Okay. Yeah, so that's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Siddharth Bhattacharya from Atom Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to understand from a margin perspective, you know, the mix of products that we have. So basically, are we operating at a peak mix as of today, a peak margin and effectively the best mix today, or is there room for improvement over here also?
Hi. So basically, we have not reached the peak. In fact, we have just started to focus on the value-added products. So I think there's a lot of headroom available wherein we can improve the product mix. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, basically, base margin products would be what percentage of your sales today, if I may ask that?
Approximately around 15%, 10 to 15% of products are high-valued products. Okay. And general products, yeah.
Okay. Got it. Fine.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question comes from Shivani Kumari from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First will be on the working capital requirement. The cash conversion cycle have increased to 140 days as against 84 days last year. What could be the possible reason, and going forward, what would be the working capital requirements looking like?
Well, working capital cycle, of course, in recent past has gone up because of built-up of inventory and because of built-up of debtors. So,
okay.
Generally, if we extend the credit, then sometimes we get the better pricing also. So, because now we have reasonable liquidity at our disposal, we are ready to extend the credit, that gives us price advantage also. So in real sense, the working capital cycle is not that big concern for us. Generally we maintain it within the reasonable level of around 4 to 5 months.
See, one more thing is that, you know, looking to the past trend of the customers and reliability of customers, certain customers we start giving credit in the global market. That increase our overall revenue and give a better margin. Let me tell you one thing that till date, touch wood, there is not a single debtors bad debt in our systems in the, you know, international market. So we are very, very careful regarding credit. At the same time, we start giving credit to certain regular customers. That's why the last year the debtors level increased by almost 35 to 36 crores rupees. But I don't think it will go further increase so far number of days concerned. So this year the level likely to maintain same level.
Okay, sure. Thank you for answering that. So the next question is on the subsidy that was collected in FY24. So could you please give me the sense of that? What is the subsidy that is expected to be collected in 25?
The total subsidy which is yet to be received is about 90 crore rupees as against 148 crore rupees due to us. And we expect that in this year, I mean, the number is very difficult to predict, but maybe around 40 crore approximately we can expect in this current year. Yesterday also we received a part payment of around 4-5 crore rupees. So we hope that as the situation improves, the government will release the subsidy amount.
And so what is the basis of subsidy collected? Like how is it decided? 40 crore number, how did we arrive?
Madam, actually it depends upon the government allocation of funds. Like I understand recently they allotted 2,400 crores out of 2,400 crores, 1,000 crores disbursed in the March itself by the government to the ministry. And pro rata basis they disbursed to all the companies percentage wise. And yesterday also 1,400 crore, another 1,000 crore disbursed. They are so getting. So when a government disburses, then the department give pro rata basis to all the, you know, eligible candidates. Not a particular company. Every company will get pro rata basis.
Okay, understood. So you mean to say in FY24, total of 148 crore of subsidy were collected, or that was throughout, like so far?
48 crore was total, you know, claim till date. Out of that, last year we collected this 23-24.
How much collected? Last year, yeah, 20, around 23 crore.
23 crores we collected in FY24.
Okay, thank you. And another question is on customer concentration. So what is the customer concentration as meaning as in top 5 customer and top 10 customer contribution to the revenue?
We have more than 200 customers, so the customer concentration, like top 5 will be contributing to less than 20% of the revenue.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue for any follow-on questions.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Ganesh Kumar from GK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hey, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Just a couple of questions. Based on the subsidy that we have submitted for and received over the last 2-3 years or so, coming to FY25, will there be a scenario where lesser subsidy will also impact our profitability?
No, the subsidy will continue till October 25. So for March 25 financial year, the subsidy will continue, full financial year.
Okay. Okay. So my question is, at some point in FY25, will the subsidy be exhausted and thus impact our profitability?
Not 25, 26, it will be October 25. So half year of the next year, 25-26. October, 7 years is available in next year. This year fully is available. So next year also there will be part year, 7 months subsidy available. And as explained that we are continuously trying to increase the, you know, contribution by manufacturing high value products. So product mix is changing. The moment we change product mix, our percentage of profit get increased. So value addition get increased. So the subsidy part impact will be neutralized once we increase our volume in the high value products and product mix.
And the question is regarding the subsidy limit. See, basically we still have significant amount of subsidy limit. So it will not exhaust. In fact, some of the eligibility we may have to forego, because by the time we will not be able to utilize the entire eligible amount.
Got it, sir. Just one more question. Word on the street is that there is too much price competition for the normal products, the non-value-added products. So how do you see that panning out for our company in FY25, based both on volume and in terms of profitability?
So just to give you a perspective, the general engineering product is majority used in all the construction sectors, infrastructure sector, and most of our products are getting exported globally. So almost close to 80%, 78% of our products are finding applications abroad. And the global market size would be somewhere in the range of $6 to $8 billion. So I don't think it's correct to say that there's too much competition and too much pressure on the pricing.
Even on the normal non-value-added products?
Yes, I'm talking about non-value-added products. Because we are competing with mostly the Koreans, and their cost of production and their sales price is higher than us.
Okay, got it, sir. I'll go back to the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on actually delivering good set of results in a tough environment. Just wanted to understand, how are we seeing, let's say, volume growth for the next year? I mean, broadly, no specific numbers. And how do we see maybe OP per ton going with it?
So we expect to grow at a percentage which we have already clocked, so nothing extraordinary, I will say, but it would be in the range of 10% approximately. And per ton value addition would, again, we are focusing on the value added products, so I am sure that we would again grow based on our focus on the value added products.
Okay. Any ballpark number, or like what would be OP, like OP, what are we expecting OPM wise?
No, that since we have not made any, see basically since we have not made any public announcement about our forecast.
Okay, sure.
I think on estimation basis only, I mean, you need to analyze us. Because if we give number, then it will not be, you know, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, fine.
So,
Sure, sure. And so what would be a capex?
See, last year that EBITDA is almost 41,000 per metric ton. And as we explained that we are going for the value products. So this percent, this absolute numbers, EBITDA per ton contribution is going to increase in the current year also. Depend upon the product mix, how much percentage we are going to make for the high value products. So EBITDA percentage per ton from, let us say that 21-22 it was 18,000 rupees per ton, 22-23 it was 35,000 tons, and this is 41,000 per ton. And it's likely to be have the same trend, so you can just guess it that the company's bottom line and the top line is going to improve substantially.
Okay, perfect. And so roughly, what capex number are we looking for the next 2 years?
See, there is no major capex plan we designed still late, but the routine capital expenditure for the utilization of our existing capacities, where a bottleneck is there, that equipment we are regularly adding. At the same time, we are also working for the capital, major capital expenditure program that will be finalized within 6 months' time, and then definitely we'll announce. Right now, but to better utilization and better, product mix, we are adding the equipment which will give us better, margin in the coming years.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. And maybe just one last thing to slip in. Any risk we are seeing across the board?
See, the major risk in business is always financial risk. And our, debt-to-equity ratio is less than 0.2. So I don't think financial risk we have. Marketing risk, yes, these are because of the this issue of the Red Sea, there was issue, but that has been settled now. So I don't see any risk in the our business. Looking to the global demands of almost $6 to $7 billion is the market share, and our product is identified and consumed by more than 52 countries across the globe. So in particular market, if there is some recession, the other market gives the better openings to us. So we are well spread across the globe. That is our strength. And as I explained you, financial risk is virtually negligible when current, debt ratio is less than 0.25. So we don't foresee any major risk in the company's operations in the coming years.
Perfect, sir. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our interest is hardly around 3% of our turnover.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Pratim Roy from Shrivat and Marker Ditch. Please go ahead.
Actually, the company name is, I think, wrong. That is Patriol and Gabby Securities. Hello, am I audible?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is not audible.
Yeah, now I'm audible?
Yes,
sir. I'm from Patriol and Kirani.
There's a lot of background noise.
Yeah. Now it's audible, sir.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So now the subsidy, we are getting subsidy. That's why the profitability looks good. So if you can give me some idea on that, the going concern basis, how much long-term sustainable EBITDA margin we can expect from the company?
If you want to understand the EBITDA analysis, you please analyze our number for last 4-5 years. We used to be at EBITDA, including subsidy, our EBITDA was 8% in 18-19, which now has reached to 26%. So it's not only subsidy which is contributing to EBITDA, the significant improvement in our product mix as Mayank has explained in detail. So the EBITDA margin gradually is improving because of various reasons which we have been explaining again and again.
Yeah, that's I understand, sir. That is due to the value-added products that you are introducing and debottling also there. So that's all are playing out. But I'm just trying to understand what is the sustainable EBITDA. It could be around 25% for the FY26-27 level. Is that fair assumption?
I mean, to sustain, we can, even if we are at 10% EBITDA without subsidy, it is very much sustainable. So sustainable has no real, we don't have any debt obligation significant now as on in our books. So the sustainability is a very subjective question.
And if you see last 12 quarters, continuously the improvement is in the notice in the company's operations, and this 12 quarters we are consistently performing well, and this trend is likely to continue. The two reasons, one is our interest cost is going down continuously, number one. Number two, our focus is gradually shifting to high-value product which give the better yield. So subsidy or no subsidy is not going to impact our sustainability in the coming years also. The EBITDA, in worst case also, it will not be less than 20-21%. Subsidy is around 7-8%. So the way 26% EBITDA is reported last year, so this trend is going to continue even in the next few years also.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Bhave Chauhan from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is, over the next 3 years, what is the kind of volume growth that company would be targeting?
It's a very subjective question. 3 years is a very long time, and looking at the various geopolitical situations, it's very hard to predict or give any sort of numbers. But more or less, the trend that you have seen in the past quarters, the trend is likely to continue.
So in the past 3 years, we have done very, very well. I mean, I can see sales growth of nearly 35% over the last past 3 years. So if are we kind of saying that this kind of trend will continue?
See, between 21 and 22 and 2020, yes, you are right, the sales was very almost a 30% growth. And last year, it was around 7-8% growth. But this year also, around 10-11% is expected definitely. And the next 2 years, we expect if we finalize and, you know, expansion plan or things, then it can go further up, but yet to finalize the expansion plan. So we are adding some equipments which will give a better utilization of the existing capacity. And, you know, coming year period, level to announce some constructive plans in the, for the company's expansion.
Also,
okay, sir,
we have grown by 5-6% in terms of revenue. So this is what we estimate that the trend is likely to continue like that.
Mm-hmm. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Siddhartha Bhattacharya from Artham Investment. Please go ahead.
I have a few questions. So I just wanted to understand, in our product portfolio today, is there room for expansion in terms of new SKUs?
Definitely. I mean, wire rope is a very complex product, and there is a lot of SKUs that can be manufactured with tweaking of some machines or adding some more machines. So we are constantly in the foray for adding new products, focusing more on the value-added products that will give higher EBITDA margins and PAT percentage.
So it is more of SKU-based and process-based that the more and more value-added products can be increased, basically.
Correct.
Okay. Now, my next question is in terms of wallet share. You said, that, you know, we know that Koreans are very large players in this industry. So just wanted to understand, we have close to 200 customers. Just wanted to understand, you know, how has our wallet share with these customers moved over the years? You know, are we selling more in terms of their spend percentage? How do we look at that? What has been the trend?
In this business, if you really want to, I mean, see what happens is once the customer starts dealing with us, they remain with unless we don't service them. So it is not something where in commodity type of business where the customer comes and he goes because of the pricing model. It's a relationship which is built over a period of time. And almost all the customers are increasing our volume year on year basis.
Okay. No, what I meant is if the customer is ordering 100% and let's say your competitors were doing 90% of the requirement and we were doing 10%, 3 years, 5 years back. Are we doing 15% now? Are we doing 20% now?
Definitely. We are increasing our market share and someone is losing their market share.
Correct.
So that's how I think the growth is coming in. So definitely, India being a cost competitive production country, we are giving a better value to the customer.
Correct. And obviously there is a lot of headroom for further deepening our wallet share, right?
Okay, definitely. It's a huge market. 80% of the products are going in replacement of products. So there's a lot of headroom, there's a lot of markets that can be developed, and there's a lot of market share that can be captured.
Okay. Secondly, sorry, lastly, I just wanted to understand in terms of the liability, you know, where does the liability or the end liability lie in case of a, you know, a mishap or an accident? Does it lie, I'm talking about, let's say, wire ropes used in elevators and construction bridges. Are we the end liability partner, or does the, how does that work? If you could help me understand that.
Especially US market, we have taken the product liability insurance. So the US is a different market, and there is much that we should have product liability. So we have taken the sufficient cover for the US market. Other than US market, there is no specific requirement of the liabilities. However, we have taken the global, worldwide, you know, insurance for the any liabilities comes on the company.
Okay.
Also,
okay.
To give you one more perspective, like for example, you mentioned elevator. The industry practice is to incorporate 10 times the load or 10 times the safety factor of the elevator. So if, say for example, my rope is carrying 1 ton of weight, my rope is designed for 10 tons of 10. Weight. Yes. A factor of safety of 10x built up in the product. So that is the kind of safety margin that is incorporated in the product.
Agreed. And finally, just to round this off, is that insurance component a sizable component for us in terms of expense as of today?
Not negligible. This is negligible. Very negligible.
Negligible. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Kunal Bihani from HVPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
So could you please talk with louder, sir?
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to understand the delay due to the shipments in Q3 and Q4. Are we seeing a follow-up to that? And if that was not the case, how much additional revenue would have been recorded?
No. See, basically, what we have seen is because of delays, there is reduction in the new orders. Till the time we supply the equivalent, I mean, past orders, that new order flow also reduces. So whatever, in fact, we have lost, I don't think can be easily, add to our turnover in future. So whatever gone is gone.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And second is, last year there was some news of buying out the CCPS from the lenders. Is there something which is planned, or you know, something being done for FY25 in that direction?
Yeah, the promoters have already, in fact, offered to banks for buyback, and that is under consideration at banks.
So there's no timeline or turnaround in such cases?
No, unless it's something which we can't predict, so banks will have to decide about, and then only we will be able to do it. But we hope that we materialize in.
Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, we hope that it may materialize in a couple of months.
Okay, fair enough. And my last question is, in the international market, any specific geography where we think our wallet share or our overall sales can see a significant growth? I mean, if I look around the other competitors from the Indian market, for them, Saudi has been a bigger area to focus along with the US area. Are we competing with them, or are we looking at similar traction in the same market?
See, we are present in only 55 countries, and I think there are a lot of more countries or geographies that we can cater to. And number two is, we are not competing against a lot of the peer manufacturers. It's basically the Koreans and the Turkish that we face more competition with. So I think there's significant room for growth.
Okay, that's all. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my question again. Sir, just wanted to, you know, ask about our capacity utilization. So currently we are at 60%. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
So what would be the peak utilization that, you know, we could achieve from our current capacity? So will we need a capex in 1 or 2 years, or how would, you know, we look at it currently?
So the peak capacity utilization would be in the range of 75% to 80%. And to utilize that capacity, we are constantly debottlenecking whatever roadblocks we are coming across to achieve that.
Okay, perfect, sir. So just wanted to know, sir, in terms of like volume, what could be the peak volume that we can achieve? Or like with our current capacity, I think we are at around 41,000 currently tons. So how would we look at it? Like what would be the peak revenue from our current capacities before we would need further capex?
Peak capacity would be around 5,000 tons monthly. So this is what we estimated to be. Again, it all depends on the product mix that we want to do, because our focus has been on the bottom line of the product. So it's a very fine line between capacity, tonnage and bottom line. So we are trying to balance both and achieve the maximum bottom line possible.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Shivani Kumari from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again. One of the question was already asked by the previous candidate. I wanted to get a sense domestic and international market share, if you can give me a sense of that.
The market share will be
around currently over. Market share is around 23% is domestic market and around 77% is export market.
Okay. And the next question is... Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, next question is, I wanted to understand that the 6% year-on-year revenue growth that we have seen, what's the split of that, as in how much volume growth is there, how much is contributed by the volume growth, and how much is contributed by the value growth?
Volume growth and value growth, I think that then we need to calculate those numbers in detail to give you a perfect number. But volume growth, what we have seen is, see, our sales was 24,000 ton approximately in 2021, which has increased to 34,000 ton in 21-22 and around 38,000 in 22-23. And in the current year, it is around 41,000 ton.
Okay.
So this is what the growth we have seen in the volume. And of course, the realization also, in fact, the realization used to be around 100 rupees in 2021, which has now gone to almost about 145, 150 rupees.
Okay, and going forward, what would be the trend like in sales realization, like how it is expected to grow?
We expect that gradually these numbers definitely will increase, because in this business, the premium comes based on your credentials and experience and your capability to deliver. So that gradually organization is building over a period of time. So we hope that this trend to continue.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Chinmay Nema from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, could you, list down the top 3, 4, maybe 5 products from our SKUs that we list as value-added products, and what is the share of value-added in our total revenue?
See, there are more than 65,000 SKUs, so to list them, it would be very difficult depending on the construction and all. But the top two would be the crane ropes, the elevator ropes. So these two sectors would be the most profitable or most important for us.
Got it, sir. And overall, how much is the contribution of the value-added segment to the total pie of revenue?
It would be 10 to 15%, roughly.
Got it, sir. And if I talk about our sales channels for the value-added segment, is it through distribution network or is it directly to OEMs, or is it like a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. We do supply to OEMs as well as we distribute our products through the big distributors globally.
Got it. And could you talk about your future plans or your strategies? Do you intend to increase the share of OEMs, or any strategic steps you are taking in that direction?
So we would like to have growth from both OEMs and distributors alike, again, which would result in better bottom line and better top line.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Gautam Kotari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just had two questions. So what is the current order book and further pipeline which you have in terms of projects?
So we usually maintain 3 months of order book, and this is what the pipeline is. That's what we are seeing usually.
Okay. Also, what measures are we taking for expansion in the domestic markets?
So we are becoming aggressive in the government business. We are approaching the OEMs, since we all know that India is a growth story. So we are seeing a lot of traction, and that is the result. Even our domestic share has increased from 10% to almost 22% now.
Okay. Also, one last question. So are we applying for any tenders in the Parvatmala scheme?
We have had meetings with Government of India, and we would be doing something to develop the products and take part in that growth story of Parvatmala.
Can we see any this thing coming in, let's say, in the next financial year?
I think there can be. However, there are no concrete plans as of yet.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in the earning calls. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the companies, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.